Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Last Sunday, we started a sermon series, a new sermon series on the 23rd Psalm. We've entitled this series, Under the Shepherd's Care. And we'll spend a few weeks looking at Psalm 23. Today, we'll just preach verse 2. But we'll go ahead and read the whole psalm for some context. So just preaching verse 2, but we'll read the whole psalm together. Let me remind you, church, that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So may we approach the reading of His Word with reverence and awe. David says this, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Father, the Lord Jesus reminds us in Luke 11:28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and who keep it. Lord, may that be true of us this morning. May we hear Your word and keep it. Lord, grant unto us eyes to see and ears to hear. This we ask in Jesus' name and by Your Holy Spirit. Amen. In my study on Psalm 23, I've learned several things about sheep. I've learned about their nature and their behavior, and in my study, four characteristics have stood out to me, four traits about sheep. Number one, sheep are pretty dependent creatures. Sheep can't provide their own food, nor can they really defend themselves against predators. And number two, sheep are prone to wander. Without a leader, they will just sort of float off into no particular place at all. Number three, sheep are fairly stubborn creatures. If they are left unattended, they will leave a perfectly rich green pasture and they will go to a barren, dry field. And number four, sheep are somewhat forgetful. Apparently, a sheep can get lost even in a fairly familiar pasture. Now, it's easy to chuckle at the behavior of sheep, but I think in a lot of ways we can be like them, can't we? You and I, we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd's eye to watch over us. We need a shepherd's ear to hear us when we cry out. We need a shepherd's skill who can chart the right path for us. I think the need is great as God's people, just like it is for sheep. We need a shepherd's faithfulness, someone who will stay with us when we are faithless. We need a shepherd's hand, someone who will steer us in the right direction of life. I think we also need a shepherd's tenderness, someone who will pick us up when we fail and fall. In his helpful little book on the 23rd Psalm, Pastor Robert J. Morgan says this about needing a shepherd, and this really challenged me this past week. But he says this, sheep are utterly dependent on a shepherd. They're just like us. We're defenseless against the prowling lion that wants to devour us. We're lost without someone to show us the path. We'll starve without a prepared pasture. We're easily diseased and we're often frightened. Without someone tending us, we become ragged, unhealthy, and utterly pathetic. And in verse 2, our text this morning, David tells us of two things that we need from Christ, our great shepherd. We depend on Him for rest, and for refreshment. We all need green pastures and still waters. We must have the spiritual rest and refreshment that only our Savior can offer us. Those are our two points this morning as we unpack verse 2. Rest and refreshment. We'll see first the rest that our shepherd gives. I've taken this point from the first half of verse 2. And then we'll see second the refreshment that our shepherd provides. That comes from the second half of verse 2. So let's look first at the rest that our shepherd gives. And again, we'll pull this point from the first half of verse 2. David simply says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Or I love how we sing it in the Trinity Psalter. "He makes me down to lie in pastures green." So what's the spiritual truth behind verse 2 here? What does David want us to grasp? Or what's he want us to know theologically, if you will? Well, again, I think it's rest. It's rest. It's restoration and renewal in Christ. So verse 2 gives us, I believe, a very important application on rest. Before you can start, you have to stop, right? Before you can start, you have to stop and rest in the Lord. It's like the guy who said, "From the rush and into the hush, Christ calls us to rest in Him." And that's true for us today, isn't it? I think oftentimes we don't rest, and so instead we're restless. Oftentimes our lives are filled with much hurry and worry, a lot of strain, a lot of stress. We stretch our bodies and our budgets beyond the breaking point. We can burn the candle of life at both ends. We all need pauses. We all need parentheses in life. So I want you to picture it. I want you to picture a stubborn sheep sitting in a green pasture, chewing the cud, just resting. Think about it in your mind. A little sheep hanging out in a meadow without a worry in the world, just resting. The Lord wants to give us that type of rest and that sort of restoration. In fact, what does Jesus say over in Matthew 11, 28 and 29? He says, "Come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So twice Christ promises his people rest. Now let's break this first clause down into two parts, two halves. You can see it on your outline. I want us to think about first what Christ does, and then second, where Christ takes us. So what he does, where he takes us. So what does Christ do? What does he do for his people there in verse 2? What's the action? Well, David says, "He makes me lie down." I still love the King James. "He maketh me to lie down." I've learned in my study that apparently sheep will not willingly lie down for you. They're stubborn and they're kind of strong-willed. As one shepherd I read this past week says, he says, "A dog can be trained to sit and to lie down, but not so a sheep." In other words, sheep are pretty selective about doing what you tell them to do. And so the shepherd's job is to come alongside the sheep so they feel relaxed, so they'll lie down. He puts them at ease. He calms their jitters. That's what David is saying in verse 2. "The Lord makes me lie down." However, I believe sometimes the Lord truly forces us to lie down. He makes us rest. God will bring you to a point in your life where he will force you to relinquish control. And he'll make you lie down so that you'll spend time with him and rest in him. It's like infants or babies or toddlers. Sometimes they get so fussy and so whiny that you have to actually make them lie down, right? You have to make them take a nap. You got to put them in their crib and shut the door and force them to rest. I think that's what we can be like as God's people. If we're not spending time with the Lord and resting in him, then sometimes God will make us lie down. He will cause you to recognize your dependence on him. God will put a trial or a difficulty or a hardship in your path so that you will lie down and so that you will submit to his will. But I think it's better for us if we just lie down willingly. We need to meet with the Lord regularly for rest on our own initiative. It's like the guy who said, "Don't make the Lord make you lie down. Come to him freely for regular rest and restoration." I like that. Don't make the Lord make you lie down. Come to him freely. Now, I believe there's three types of rest that the Lord gives us. Now, three types of rest that I see here as I reflected on this verse. Three ways that the Lord gives us rest. Number one, he gives us the rest of safety. As sheep are constantly on the lookout for cougars, bears, wolves, wild dogs. And so it is for us. Really, God's people are much different. We need the rest of safety from the dangers of sin. We need rest from the demands of the law. We need rest from Satan and from spiritual warfare, which is a real thing. We need rest from guilt. We need rest from past failures in life. Number two, he gives us the rest of harmony. I've learned that if sheep aren't at peace with each other, then they won't rest. And apparently sheep can harbor tension and friction with other sheep in the flock. And so it is for the flock of Christ today. But we won't have rest if we're at odds with another believer. So we need to forgive each other. We need to forgive those in our families. Or forgive those who have hurt us in our jobs. Maybe even those who have hurt us in the church. Christ has forgiven us, so we forgive others. And then number three, Christ gives us the rest of tranquility. A sheep won't lie down to rest in the summer because of ticks and flies and other nagging insects. I think that the same principle is true for us today. We need rest from spiritual pests, if you will. So the Lord gives us rest from worldliness. Again, he gives us rest from sin. He gives us rest from temptation, which is always lurking. He gives us rest from a troubled conscience. Ezekiel 34:31 says, "You are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God." So that's what Christ does for us. He makes us lie down so that we can find rest in Christ. But where does Christ take us? Where does he guide us to? Well, David says in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." So I want you to picture a lush, green meadow. Think about an abundant, plentiful field, which probably wouldn't be in Amarillo, right? That's the sort of rest that God gives his people in verse 2. David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," not barren fields, but green pastures. Now, back in biblical times, shepherds would take their sheep early in the mornings to green pastures. In fact, you can see this today. The Bedouin people, a Middle Eastern tribal people, they still do this. Their sheep get up around 4 or 5 a.m. and they start to browse. They start to nibble and graze on the grass. And then when the sun comes up and it gets really hot, the shepherd moves the sheep. And he takes them to find solace in a shaded green pasture. And this gives the sheep a place to ruminate and to chew the cud. A sheep have a four-chambered stomach, and I'll spare you all the details, but they eat something, they regurgitate it, they munch on that, they swallow it, they munch on it again, and so on and so forth. And so they need a place of rest and safety to do this. So I think green pastures depicts rest for us and restoration. It's a scene of protection. It's a scene of safety. That's true for us. It's an image of rest for you and I in Christ today. Again, Jesus says, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." You can also say that green pastures is a picture of provision, where God meets our needs. God provides for us. He supplies what's lacking in our lives. Psalm 34, verse 10, "Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Further, green pastures, it's a picture of peace, where our minds are content. You know, I think it's in our nature not to be content, isn't it? It's in our DNA, if you will, not to be satisfied. It's like those house flies in the summer. As soon as they get in the house, they want to go right back out. They want to go in and out, in and out. They're never satisfied. They're never happy. But Christ gives his people peace and contentment. He offers us fulfillment and satisfaction. Lastly, I think green pastures, it's a picture of personal nourishment where our souls are fed. So it's a picture of provision, this pasture, this green pasture, where God meets our needs. It's a picture of peace, where our minds are content. I think it's also a picture of nourishment, where God feeds our souls. And I think for us today, God feeds our souls in these green pastures through what we call the means of grace, the ordinary means of grace. You've probably heard this language in our church. We are nourished and fed through the means of grace. That's word, sacrament, and prayer. So make sure you're in the word daily. Make sure you're in church every week to hear the preached word. Make sure you take the sacraments, especially a communion. Make sure that you're spending time with the Lord in prayer. So I think word, sacrament, and prayer are the ways that God takes us to green pastures and gives us rest. That's our first point. That's the rest that our shepherd gives. Well, that brings us to our second heading. And that's the refreshment that the shepherd provides. So the rest that he gives, and now the refreshment that he provides. I see this in the second half of verse 2. David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He says, "He leads me beside still waters." So we're moving from our hunger, green pastures, now to our thirst, for God leads us to still waters. And again, let's break this verse down into two parts, two halves. What Christ does and where Christ takes us. So what does Christ do for his people? What does he do for you? What does he do for us in verse 2? What's the action? David says, "He leads me." Again, you and I, we need a leader. Nobody in this room is tough enough or smart enough or strong enough to go through life on your own. I promise you. We need someone to show us the way. We need someone to go before us. As the people of God, we have such a limited perspective on life. We only have a finite understanding of the world. Nobody here knows what tomorrow's going to hold. Nobody here knows what this afternoon's going to hold or this evening. So we need to be led. We need someone to get out in front of us and to show us the way. It's like the old hymn that we'll sing in a few minutes. "He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." Now, as I studied this phrase, "he leads me," I came up with four ways that Christ leads us. Four means. And I pulled most of these from John chapter 10. That's the Good Shepherd passage. I want you to turn to John 10. Keep your hand in Psalm 23. We'll come right back. But flip over to John chapter 10. I want you to see some of these ways whereby Christ leads us. We'll pick it up in verse 3, John chapter 10. Verses 3 and 4 tell us that Christ is an authoritative leader. "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Sheep need an authoritative leader. They can sense if their leader is unsure and kind of passive. They respond better to a strong leader and a sure leader. And I would ask you this morning, in light of verses 3 and 4, are you under the authoritative leadership of Christ? Are you reading his word? Are you doing what he says? Are you reading and heeding the word? Are you listening to him in prayer? Are you allowing Christ, the good shepherd to inform the decisions that you make in your life. Really, what we're asking is he the Lord of your life? Are you under his authority? John 10 also tells us that Christ is a personal leader. So he's an authoritative leader. He's also personal. Look at verse 5. A stranger, they, sheep, will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then down in verse 14, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So this tells us that Christ knows his people personally and intimately. In other words, he knows every hair on your head. He knows every desire of your heart. Ian Hamilton, the great Scottish Presbyterian pastor, he says this. He says, Christ's knowledge of his sheep is intimate. You are not a faceless number among God's elect. That's good to know, right? You are not a faceless number among the elect. Our shepherd knows us personally and intimately. John 10 tells us that Christ is a sacrificial leader. Look at verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What a leader, right? What a leader. Someone who will lay down his life for his own people. I like the hymn by Elisha Hoffman. He was a Presbyterian pastor back in the 19th century. He wrote the hymn, Are You Washed in the Blood? It says this, Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And the hymn is meant to make the listener think and to consider their own heart. It asks several times, have you, not your neighbor, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And so I want to press upon you the same question this morning. Have your sins been covered by Christ? Do you know him? Has he saved you? Kids, that includes you too. Let me ask you, kids, do you know Christ? Have you trusted in his sacrifice to cover for your sins? If not, all you do is you turn from your sin and you look to Christ by faith alone. The Bible says if you'll do that, you'll be saved. So Christ is the substitute, but he's also the sacrifice for our sin. And then lastly, we won't turn there, but Isaiah 40, verse 11 says that Christ is a gentle and tender leader. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead his sheep. So Christ is a strong leader, but he's also a sympathetic leader towards us. Now, where does Christ take us? We've seen the action. He leads us. Where does he take us? Where does he lead us to? Well, David says in verse 2, He leads me beside still waters. Or some of your translations might say, He leads me beside quiet waters. I think still waters is a picture of refreshment and relief. It's a scene of comfort and fulfillment and peace. So think about a gentle stream. A picture, a quiet flowing brook that sort of just meanders through the countryside. Three things. Three applications about what it means for Christ to lead us beside still waters. Source, security, satisfaction. First, Christ is the source of everything. He's the fount. As the old hymn goes, he's the fount of every blessing that we have in this life. Now, back in biblical times, and this is still true today, Israel was a dry land. It's a semi-arid country with no or very little water. And sheep can get by for a little while with the dew on the grass. That can tide them over for a little bit. But eventually they need large quantities of water. They need a pond, a river, a creek, or a stream. So it's the shepherd's job to lead the sheep to the source of water. A sheep can't just instinctively find water on their own. They need a shepherd to guide them there and to show them the source. And of course, a sheep need calm, steady water, lest they get parasites. clean water, I should say, sorry. They don't want to drink from muddy and murky waters. And in the event of a drought, a shepherd can improvise. A shepherd has built secret wells or cisterns or drinking troughs for his sheep in case of a famine or a drought. I think it's the same principle for us today. Christ is the source of eternal life. We who are weak and weary, we can drink from him. He offers us eternal life. Jesus said over in John 4:14, he says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Later in John's gospel, he says in John 7:37-38, he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Further, Christ is our security. He's the source of all that we have, but he's also our security in life. Shepherds know that sheep won't drink from a roaring, raging river that makes them nervous and antsy. They like water that's calm and not gushing and rushing. So shepherds will lead their sheep to still waters, verse 2, or to safe, quiet waters. Shepherds will even dam up a fast-running river to create a calm, safe pool. And they'll use rocks and sticks to slow the rush. If not, the sheep will get in the water and they can be carried away. They can drown and carried away by the current. Again, this applies to us today. Christ is our security. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you." Psalm 124:1-5. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters." And finally, Christ is our satisfaction in life. So he's the source of all that we have. He's our security, but he's also our satisfaction. You know, a lot of people will look to anything and everything to satisfy their spiritual thirst. People will search high and low. They'll look to money, to pleasure, to a job. They'll look to drugs, a certain relationship, or anything to fill that void. But those things always leave us panting and thirsting for more. And so what David is saying is only Christ can satisfy that longing. Only the Lord Jesus can quench our thirst. Only he can give us the rest that we need and the refreshment that our hearts desire. John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So we started off by saying that we need the rest and the refreshment that only Christ can give. We've seen two actions. Christ makes us lie down, and he leads us. And we've seen two places where Christ takes us. He takes us to green pastures, and he takes us to still waters. I think green pastures represent rest. I think still waters represent refreshment for God's people. I want to end by reading something from Joel Beakey. You've probably heard his name. He has a helpful little book on the 23rd Psalm called The Lord Shepherding His Sheep. You might want to pick that book up if you want to go deeper on Psalm 23. That's Joel Beakey, The Lord Shepherding His Sheep. But Beakey says this, which I think really captures verse 2 this morning. He says, "Today's generation is living proof of restlessness, dissatisfaction, and unhappiness. Millions immerse themselves in senseless forms of entertainment. Millions more take illegal drugs, alcohol, and prescription medications to try to lift their moods. Flashing advertisements constantly promise peace and happiness for a price. Our society is one mass of restless people." And that's true, isn't it? We could be a restless people. He goes on. "True rest is found by grace in God alone. There is true rest only in Christ. This rest is reserved only for his people. He alone can lead us to rest. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters." Well, let's pray together.